Holding Kofi Zionov at bay is at the Mishnah. Continuing on the topic of Miyun, an interesting thing, by the way. So yesterday we were talking about a case of a famous controversial case of Miyun 500 odd years ago that was supervised by Rabbi Yaakov Polak, who was the Rebbe of the Rebbe of the Rama. One of my friends pointed out to me actually that yesterday is at least some historians say was his yahrzeit. It's not so clear. We don't know his biographical details, but there is a matseva that's said to be his, and which has the date Chofim Al Sivan on it. Anyway, about 50 years before his times, one of the great rabbanim of Germany, Rabbi Nachum Merzburg, had said that we shouldn't do miyun nowadays anymore because of various possible confusions that could cause, and this Rabbi Yaakov Polak went and supervised one anyway, and it became a huge controversy. So the Mishnah says, "Eizei k'tanish etzricha l'mayim." What's the circumstances of a k'tana who needs to do miyun? In other words, the point is, the Mishnah is going to tell us there are cases. The whole concept of miyun, of course, is when the marriage is only d'rabban. But there are, in fact, cases, as we're going to say, where you don't even need miyun. She can just leave without making any kind of declaration in front of Beis Din or Edim or whatever, as we said yesterday, and she just leaves as if there was never a marriage. So what is a k'tana who needs to do miyun? Kol shisi ua ima va'acheha ledaita, if her mother or her brothers married her off with her das. So she was agreeable to it at the time, but since she's a k'tana, then she's able afterwards to change her mind, because it's only d'rabban. But he see uha shalai v'daita. But if they married her off without her consent, einat tzricha l'mayin, then she doesn't even need to do miyun. She just leaves, and that's it. Rav Chanina ben Antignas Omer. Rav Chanina ben Antignas says a different definition. Kol tinoikas she'eni yichoda lishmo kiddushaha. If she's so young that she doesn't know how to guard her kiddushin. In other words, you think of it. The kiddushin is the chassan gives her kesef or shava kesef, and nowadays that's the ring, of course. And then she holds on to that. So if she's so young that she doesn't know how to do that she doesn't know how to watch that kiddushin, then she doesn't even need to do miyun, because at that age she's really too young to understand what happened over here. Rabbi Lozer Omer, or Rabbi Eliezer, it says on the side, ein maisek tanaklum. He says, when you look at the whole situation involving miyun, at the whole situation involving a ktana getting married, really what it is, says Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Lozer, anything that she does doesn't really count for anything. It does not consider a marriage at all. Ela kimafuta, it's only just as if she was seduced. In other words, as if it was a relationship outside of marriage. Which means, in other words, so he continues, therefore, bas Yisrael l'koyen lo techa b'truma. So if she's a bas Yisrael married to a koyen, she can't eat truma. I, the wife of a koyen, is allowed to eat truma, but we don't consider this to be an actual marriage. Similarly, bas koyen l'Yisrael techa b'truma, and vice versa. If she's a bas koyen married to Yisrael, she can still eat truma. She's married to Israel, that should pass over. No, because we don't consider there's a marriage over here. Now, there is a relationship, of course. They are having relations, but we learned earlier in the Masechta that having relations outside of marriage doesn't pass over for Truma unless it was with somebody who was also to her. Here, we're talking about her Israel husband is not also to her. It's just not considered that there exists a marriage. Therefore, says Rabbi Lazar, she'd still be able to eat truma. And the Gemara is going to go on to say that Rabbi Eliezer says that there are a bunch of other things in which we say they're not actually considered men. Continues the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says the rule to know whether she needs miyun or not. There's Gemara over there on the shelf. So we can use that. So Rabbi Lozman Yaakov Amar, kol akava shehi mina ish, any time that there is an impediment, that there's something preventing a new marriage from taking place, and it's because of the husband, ki'ilu hi ishtoi, then it's considered as though this k'tana is actually his wife. We'll see in the Gemara what Rabbi Lozman Yaakov means by that. Kol akava shehi mina ish, but if the impediment, if what's holding back a new marriage, is not because of their husband, ki'ilu eina ishtoi, then it's as if she's not his wife. So we'll see in the Gemara what Rabbi Lozman Yaakov means by that. So we have three different definitions.
That's Kavanaki Tana.
No, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, yes, it's the Kav Benar Kitana, yeah. Okay, so the Gemara starts here. Omer Rav Yehuda, Va'ami Lav Masnis Atonah, Rav Yehuda says, or others say, it says in the Braisa, Barishayna Hoyu Koisvin Get Miyun. Originally, when they wrote a Get Miyun, which we said before, the Get Miyun is not a true get at all. It's really only Maisa based, and it's just a record that she has for that she's going to need it in order to get remarried, because people know beforehand that she was married, so she's going to need a document from Basin certifying that she's able to get remarried. So they write it out. So they write out a description of what happened in Basin. So originally they would write it out with Lushan, Loira Inabay. They would say in it that she says, I don't want him, but like Savinabay, and I don't desire him, the less than a boilis nasfale, and I don't want to stay married to him. So they would use all those lashonis. Kiven the chazer the nafish Buddha, but then the Chachamim realized there's a problem of using so many different lashonis. Amri, people might think about an amaoretz, or actually Rashi and Tosfos both use the expression of bur, osi leichlufu begita, that a sofa bur might confuse it with a get. So Rashi and Tosfos both explain that what it means is they might go and start using such lashonis in a get. And that's no good, because in a get, the point is that a get is initiated by the husband, and there's not supposed to be any expressions in it of the wife saying, I don't want to be married to the husband. On the contrary, it's the husband saying, Hareat Megureshes, and other such lashonis. So therefore, so they realize that's the problem. A sofa bur might think that these lashonis that are written in a get niyun should also be written in a regular get. Well, sofa bur, you're saying there's almost an oxymoron. I mean, it means there's a sofa, he knows how to write, but he doesn't really know what he's doing. He doesn't know the relevant halachas. Anyway, a couple of the Rishonim, the Ritzvah, and the Mukha Yosef have another point as well. We're going to learn in the Mishnah at the bottom of our Amud that, for example, when a couple's been married, then certain relatives of his are also to her in the future. Certain relatives of hers are also to him, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta. On the other hand, and that would apply even if they got divorced, or even if one of them died. On the other hand, when miyun is done, then it undoes the marriage as if the marriage never existed, and therefore the mission at the bottom of the Amud is going to say that those various relatives are in fact mutter. So now imagine, for example, that you have something written which is in fact a get miyun. It's not a true get. People are going to misunderstand, say the Ritzvah and the Mukha Yosef, that people are going to think that it was an actual get. Now, let's say, for example, he is later on Makadosh, her mother, or her sister, or something. People are going to think Kedushin aren't Tofus because it's an error. They're not going to realize that, in fact, it is Tofus, and you're going to have problems. So because of that, Tachinu Hochi, so instead, the Chachamim made a Takana that you should just write and get me on V'yoyim Ploini, Miena Ploinis Bas Ploini Ban Pona, and such and such a day, Ploinis Bas Ploini, did miyun in our presence. And that way it just doesn't resemble a get at all, and that way nobody's going to get mixed up. Rishonim explain, and actually there's so the Rambam brings a nusach of a get miyun in Hilchos Gerushin over there, and he has some of the lashonis that we had here in the Gemara, but it's written in a way that's very clear where it's part of a whole nusach where she says that she says to Basin that my mother or my brothers married me off when I was a Tana, and I don't want to stay in that marriage, and therefore we're giving her this get miyun to certify that. So that way, so even though you are using some of the lashonis that it had here in the Gemara, but it's embedded in sentences which make it very clear that it's not a get miyun, so nobody's going to mistake it for that it's not a regular get, so nobody's going to mistake it for a regular get. Okay, turn it around. We learn in a braisa. What is a valid miyun? For example, so Omri, if she be pliny baili, if she says, I don't want to stay married to pliny my husband, or if she be kiddushin she kiddushuni imi v'achai, or I don't want the kiddushin that my mother or my brothers did on my behalf. We're going to discuss in the Gemara soon. Now, we said in the first Mishnah of the Masechta that according to Beis Hillel, and of course this is Halacha, that she can do miyun even after nisuin as well. But we're starting with that they did the kiddushin, and she's saying, that already I don't want. And the Braisa continues, yes, Rakein Omer Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda goes even beyond that. He says, Afilu Yeshevas Bapirion, even if she's sitting in the carriage or in the litter, which they're carrying her, a kala that they would put in an apirion, which is some kind of fancy conveyance to get her to the chuppah. So she's sitting there, and she's going from her father's house, or not her father really, because we learned before that her father is dead or out of the picture, but we mean from wherever she was living before, she's on her way to her husband's house. And while she's sitting there in the Aperian, she says, I don't want to stay, I don't want to be married to this husband. Then it's considered a valid meal. In other words, you don't say, you might say, well, if she doesn't like the marriage, why doesn't she get out of the Aperian and then actually do a Maisa? Nevertheless, the fact that she doesn't actually get out, the fact that she just says this while in the Aperian is good enough, and that's considered a meal, and we call off the wedding. Yes, there are Kane Omer Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda goes even beyond that. Even if there are guests sitting and eating at a party in her husband's house, and she's serving them drinks, but and right there during the party, she says, I don't want to stay married to my husband anymore. That's also considered a valid meeting. Yes, that arcane omer. You don't say, in other words, that maybe it's just because right now she's feeling, I'm tired of serving drinks, and therefore she's expressing herself that way. No, we say it is a valid meaning. Yes, that arcane omer of Yosef by Yehuda. Afilu shigra baila etzochen min lahavi lo chefetz mishaloi. Even if her husband sent her on an errand to the store, where, in other words, the point is only the storekeeper is there, and lahavi lo chefetz mishaloi, that he wants the storekeeper to give him something of his that, let's say, was there for safekeeping by the storekeeper. But omra, and she says to the storekeeper, if she pliny baili, I don't want to stay married to my husband pliny. Ein lacha miyun gadol mizeh. There's no greater miyun than that. Even though, in other words, Rashi says, so first of all, there's only the chen. Now, we did discuss yesterday how many people you need miyun in front of. There are rishonim who learn that, that based on the Gemara that we learned yesterday, that you do, in fact, b'chatchila need three, and b'diyevet, at least you need 2 8. So, okay, according to that, then it would mean that there, besides the chenveni, there was somebody else had to be there. But the point is, we don't say, Rashi says, again, you could say he was matriach her to run this errand, maybe therefore she's expressing herself that way. No, we still say it's considered a valid miyun.
She got away.
Yeah. The Mishnah had continued. Rav Chanina ben Antignus and Makolti Noikas Vachola. So we have the first definition in the Mishnah was that if they married her off Shaloi Ladaita, then she doesn't even need Miyun. She can just leave without making any declaration at all. And then we had Rav Chanina ben Antignus says if she's so young that she don't, when if she was so young and she got married that she wasn't yet of age to know how to guard the object that she was given for kiddushin, then it's not considered a marriage, and then therefore she doesn't even need Miyun. So Amr of Yehuda Mishma, Halacha, Rav Chanina ben Antignus, the Halacha is like him, so that's the cutoff point. How old was she at the time? Now there is we touched on in the previous perek something called Onas HaPautos. There's an age that's defined in Baba Basra as sometime between 6 and 10 years old, depending on the mental capabilities of a kid, when they start being aware of what money is and what it means to buy and sell things and such like. So a smart kid, it might be at 6. A kid who doesn't have so much intelligence, it might be at 10. So when they reach Onas HaPautos, then they're old enough Lishmeres Kiddushah, and then therefore they need Miyun. When it's below that age, then they don't.
Like if you ask them how much a house costs, it might be like
$100. No, well, I don't know about a house, because real estate is something else. Well, Linka B'nichsi Abba actually had been asked. But let's say, for example, I mean, a little kid doesn't really have a concept of money, you know. So let's say, for example, you know, they have a dollar, they right away want to spend it, you know. They don't have the concept of let's hold on to it for a while and save it up to buy something better. So once they reach that age, that's onus haporges, yeah. You're going to ask, by the way, I mean, how does a girl get married that young anyway? After the shiur yesterday, we were mentioning that, for example, in Yemen, in the old days, it was somewhat common, this kind of thing, because the goyim there, the Muslims who ruled over Yemen, had a rule that any orphan child gets taken by the state, and then they're raised as a Muslim. So therefore, they would have to, if a kid is orphaned, even at a young age, they'd have to marry them off at a young age in order to avoid that issue. So now you have, yeah, you know, she could easily be married, and not necessarily are they having relations yet, fine, but at least she's married on some level already at three, four years old, younger even, yeah. Anyway, continues the Gemara. Tana, we learn in a braisa, Ktana Shleimiyana v'omda v'nisis, if the Ktana did not do Miyun, and instead she went ahead with Nisuin, Mishumer of Yehuda ben Beseira Omru, v'omda v'nisis means that she went and married somebody else. So she did not do Miyun on her husband. She's already married to her first husband, which we're going to see actually, whether we mean that they're fully married or whether only Niskadish. Now she went and married somebody else. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer Misu'eha Hein Hein Mir Neha. So they said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that second marriage itself amounts to a miyun, and therefore no further miyun is necessary. It's obvious she didn't want to be married to the first husband. So now the question becomes, Niskad Shemahu, what if she only accepted Kiddushin from a second person? They didn't go as far as Nisurin. So Toshma, Tana Shalem Miyanova Omdam Niskadcha. Another Braisa uses the expression Niskadcha, that she did Kiddushin. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Om Kiddushah, Hein Hein Miyunah. So the answer is that yes, it would apply to both Kiddushin and Nisurin. So, in other words, Tosfos says that, yes, the previous Braisa said Benissis, it didn't imply Nissis as opposed to Niskadcha. The Braisa, the Tana of that Braisa, just didn't bother making the distinction. He didn't see a reason to distinguish between them, whether she accepts Kiddushin from somebody else, which as a true Ashes Ish wouldn't be allowed to, or whether she goes all the way as far as Nisuin, there's no difference. Other Rishonim explain that what you have is there's Braises that were taught by Rav Chiya and Braises that were taught by Rav Oshia, and sometimes the Lashonis don't exactly line up. So here, one Tana used one Tana used another, but they're meant to express the same thing. Okay. So now the question becomes, we said Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says this. Pligia Rabbanan Alei de Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Eloi. Do the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira? Do they say that just accepting Kiddushin or Nisuin from somebody else does not constitute a miyun, or constitutes a miyun, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says? Or no, do they disagree and say that she'd actually need to do miyun before she does that? In Tim Tzolayim of Pligi, and if you're going to say the Chachamim argue, then the question is, Kiddushin Ayatil ben Nisuin. Would that apply whether she only does Kiddushin to somebody else? And they would say that only Kiddushin doesn't constitute a miyun, but if she does Nisuin with somebody else, then they would agree that constitutes miyun. Or maybe they argue even b'nisuin, and they would say that it doesn't work without miyun. The intent to learn a pligia to live in Nisuin, if you say they argue on both, whether she accepted Kiddushin or Nisuin from somebody else, halacha kamosa, ain't halacha kamosa. Then we have to ask the question, well, who is the halacha like? If the Chachamim are arguing, would it be like them or like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira? The intent to learn a halacha kamosa, and if you say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, then Nisuin, I have to live in Kiddushin. Then would we say that maybe we do make a distinction between Kiddushin and Nisuin? Maybe we would say as far as Nisuin, we would hold like him once she went as far as Nisuin, then we would say obviously that's Miyun, but Kiddushin maybe not necessarily. So the Gemara says, Toshma, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halacha could have heard Mirasera. And the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and halacha miklal de pligi. Having to say the halacha is like somebody implies that there is an argument. So that answers some of our questions. That answers that yes, the chachamim do disagree with him and that the halacha is like him. So that takes care of two of our four questions. But the akati tiboylach, So Tosfos points out, it takes care of all four of our questions. Because the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, generically, halacha could Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, implies that it would be, the halacha would be like him in all cases, whether Kiddushin or Nisuin. Given that we brought before, there are two braises, one of which says that Omdav Niskadcha, and another one says Omdav Nisis. And we said in both of them, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says that constitutes Miyun, then therefore that means that now, if he's saying the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, we mean as far as both. The halacha is like him as far as when she accepted Kiddushin from somebody else, and when she accepted Nisuin from somebody else. So good, that answers all our questions. Yes, the Chachamim disagree in both of those cases. Yes, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira in both of those cases. Okay, v'akati tiboylach, but still, there is what to ask. To have a nesiva me'ikra a yuma mekadcha. Does all of this apply even if she was previously fully married to her first husband, and even so, miyun is enough to undo it, or is it maybe only if she was niskadish to him? Now, fine. We said before one of the machloikas in the first mishnah of our perek was that Beis Shammai had said she can do miyun only as an arusa. Beis Hillel says she can do miyun as a nesua as well. But maybe that's a true miyun, where she actually says in so many words, Efi Bebaili. But over here, where she's not actually saying anything, she's just going and accepting Kiddushin, maybe that's not strong enough to undo Nisuin. So what would be the din as far as that? So Toshma, the Kalse de Avdon Imbud. Abdon's daughters-in-law did rebelled against their husbands, and they didn't want to stay married. Now, we learned a few days ago, we had a story on Daf Kupay where Abdon was one of the Talmidim of Rebbe, where we said he spoke disrespectfully to Rabbi Shmuel but Rabbi Yossi, and the result was, we said that he was punished very severely in Olam Hazeh, where among other things, he got saras, and two of his sons-in-law drowned, and his daughters-in-law did meal. So now they did meal. So imrud means not that they didn't actually get the point. If they said that there was miyun, then we wouldn't be discussing it in the Gemara over here. Imrud means they were murdered. They said they ran away from their husbands. Shodr Rebbe Zuga did Abonim Lemivdekinu. So Rebbe sent a pair of chachamim to check them out. What exactly are they running away? What exactly are they planning? Do they have plan? Are they just running away for the moment and they plan to return or what? Amri lahu nashi. So women said to these women said to these girls, Chazi gavraichu dekaasu. Look, your husbands are coming. Amri lahu, and the daughters-in-law of Avgan answered back, Nehevi gavraichu didchu. Let them be your husbands. In other words, in effect, saying we don't want to be married to them anymore. Omer Rebbe, Ein lacha miyun gadol mizeh. And Rebbe says, there's no greater miyun than that. Yes, that constitutes miyun, and therefore that's it. The marriages are over. There must have been, obviously, What?
Why do we impose words on the girl who has to do miyun, and to a married woman we don't?
What, because a married woman to... you get, what do you mean? One second. A married woman is a regular woman's marriage is daraisa. So you need an actual get to dissolve it. Here, the whole paragraph we're talking about over here, a marriage that exists to begin with only dirabanan. Therefore, we know miyun is enough. In this case, when she does something or says something that indicates that she doesn't want this marriage anymore, then that's we can teach out what she's saying. When she says, when each of these girls says, you know what, my husband, I don't want it. When she says, my husband, let him be your husband. Now, obviously, you could say that, this is before, Cherem Deben Gershom. Obviously, conceivably, it could mean that let him be your husband as well as mine, because he could be married to both of us. But come on, that's not what they mean. It means let him be your husband. In other words, I don't want him. So,
can only be done if the girl is given over and the father's dead.
Yeah, he said, right. So, in this case, so Abdon was still alive, but no. These are his daughters-in-law. These are his daughters, these are Abdon's daughters-in-law. Abdon is still alive, but the father of these girls had passed away before they married Abdon's daughters, before they married Abdon's sons, Okay, no problem. So the point is that, yes, once they say, let him be your husbands, so Omer Rebbe, Ein lacha miyun gadol mizeh. Now, the Gemara says, my lav da hava nesiva, shouldn't we assume that the scenario is that, in fact, these girls were actually fully married to Avgan's sons, and now we were discussing just now about this omda v'nisis or omda v'niskadsha, in other words, where they don't actually say miyun, but where they do something that we, from which we infer miyun. So now we were asking, is the halacha like Rabbi Huda ben Beseira, even when they were fully married, shouldn't we assume that that's the case, that Avgan's daughters-in-law were fully married? And in that case, that would mean that, yes, that even in such a case, we say that something like that, which is not a full-fledged miyun, still amounts to one. And the answer is like to have a makadsha kiddushin. Not necessarily. It could very well be that these girls were only niskadish at that point to Avdon's sons, and they hadn't yet gone through with his doing. Okay, the Gemara says, nevertheless, the halacha could have been heard in the Seira, the Kama, the halacha ends up being like a Rebbe Hodim Seira, even if she was fully married to the first one. So if she says or does something that indicates miyun, then nevertheless it's valid as a miyun. So again, we have Rav Chanina ben Antignus's point, which we said the halacha was like him, that if she's underage, that if she's below onus hapo'urtis, then you don't even need miyun at all. But if she's at onus hapo'urtis, it doesn't necessarily need that she actually says the words, I don't want my husband, but rather if she does something, for example, accepting kiddushin from somebody else, demonstrating thereby that she doesn't want to be married to this guy anymore, then that constitutes miyun, and we can write her out and get miyun, and she's free to go. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah, Rav Elazar Omer, that Rav Elazar, or Rav Eliezer, it says on the side, had said that in Ma'is Akhtana form, he said that the marriage of Akhtana doesn't really count for anything with the exception of the fact that she needs Miyun. So Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Chizrani Alkot Sidedei Chachamim, I went and investigated all the various angles of the opinions of the different Chachamim on the subject of Miyun. V'loi Matzasi, Adam Shehishvim, Midoisi B'Tana Kirav Alazar. I didn't find any Tana who's so consistent in his shita of what the marriage of a Tana is as of Alazar. In other words, all the other Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that they say in certain senses that she's that her marriage is not really a true marriage, but they're not being consistent about it because there are other dinim where they're treating it as if it was a full marriage. Only Rabbi Lazar is being consistent and saying, no, this is Rabbi Lazar. This is Rabbi Lazar. But if it's Rabbi Lazar, then it's Rabbi Lazar and Shamua. If it's Rabbi Eliezer, then it's Rabbi Eliezer and Hodinus. Rabbi Eliezer and Yaakov is later in the Mishnah. He makes the distinction between Akava Shehi Shemini Ish or Akava Shehi Shemini Ish, which we'll get to soon. But no, we're talking about Rabbi Lazar, who says in the Mishnah that Ein Maisek Tana Klum Elokim Aforta, that the whole marriage is not even considered a marriage. It's just considered as if there was pitui, as if she was seduced into a relationship. So Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that Rabbi Lazar is being the most consistent of all the Chachamim in what he considers this marriage to be. He considers it, in effect, not a marriage at all. Rabbi Lazar considers such a marriage with a Tana as if they're just walking around together in a chotzer, as though there's no marital relationship at all. But and then she climbs out of his lap. In other words, she's in his lap. They've had relations with Tevelas, but then she can Tovel. Now, a woman who has had relations has to Tovel because of Tara, but not, in other words, that she's actually considered married. It's just considered as though they had an extramarital relationship. And if she's a Bas Kohen, she can eat Truma that evening as soon as she has Harav Shemesh. In other words, all the other Chachamim, says Rabbi Yehuda, they're treating this as though it was a real marriage. They're saying, for example, that if she's a Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen, she'd be able to eat Truma by virtue of this marriage, and vice versa. If she's a Bas Kohen married to Yisrael, she would not, because she loses the ability to eat Truma. Rabbi Lazar is being the most consistent. He's saying this is not, the other Chachamim are just saying, nevertheless, it's a marriage that can be dissolved with Miyun. Rabbi Lazar is being the most consistent. He's saying there's no marriage here, B'chla. So you need Miyun, but other than that, it's not really considered a marriage at all. And Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ein Maisek Tanak Klum, that Rabbi Eliezer says, so if in the Mishnah the Gira says it's supposed to be Rabbi Lazar, then it means two Tanoim hold this, Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Hokinus. So if you say that in the Mishnah it was supposed to be Rabbi Eliezer, then it's only the one Tana Rabbi Eliezer. Anyway, he teaches out, Ein Maisek Tanak Klum, the actions of a Tana don't count for anything, meaning it's not considered a marriage at all. The Ein Baila Zakai Logan Siosa, so her husband, for example, is not entitled to anything that she finds. Usually a husband is entitled to objects that his wife finds. We'll learn about in Masechta Ksuvos, it's one of the Tnoi Ksuva. He's also responsible to support her. We're going to talk about the various Tnoi Ksuva, the things that he's obligated to her and the things that reciprocally she's obligated to him. So in this case, none of that exists because there's no actual marriage over here, says Rabbi Eliezer. He would not be able to revoke her nedarim, which her husband usually can do for his wife. The ena yosha, if she dies, he doesn't yaushin her, which her husband usually would. The ena tamila, if he's a kohen, he's not able to become tame for her. So the bottom line is ena keishta the choldaver. She's not considered like his wife for any purpose. Ela should tzricha miyun, with the exception of the fact that she can't just leave. She needs miyun. So Rabbi Eliezer was saying that's what it means, that the ein maisek tana klum, it means that not only do we say that not only that miyun is possible, and not only that it doesn't impinge on her status as far as eating truma, but none of the other usual things that come into play when a husband and wife get married come into play over here, because it's not really considered a marriage. It's considered, in effect, like we said, just pitui, as though like he seduced her into a non-marital relationship. So if she's a Bas Kohen, she'd still be able to eat Truma. If she's a Bas Yisrael, then she can't, right?
Right.
On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua, Omer, Rabbi Yeshua says no. Baila Zakai b'mtsi also of Maisi Adeha, her husband is entitled to anything she finds. He is entitled to her Maisi Adeha, to her earnings, to whatever she whatever she makes or burns, or vafa, which is he gives her mezonos, and in return she gives him maisiyada, or vafaras nedareha. Rabbi Yehoshua says he could revoke her nedarim, the yosha, he would yashin her if she dies, or metamila, he can become tame for her. Now, Rashi points out, one second, if he's a Kohen, how can the Chachamim, who established this marriage, how do they have the ability to say that he, a Kohen, is able to become tame for her, which would be an Isur Daraisa? The answer is that since he yashins her, she's considered in effect like a mes mitzvah. We had this concept earlier in the Masechta, where the idea was, we said that since he's the one who yashins her, her family, her birth family, her mother, her brothers, or whatever, may wash their hands of her. They may say, look, you know, we're not even yashining her. She's not really part of our family anymore. Let her husband deal with the kavura. So therefore, in effect, she's a mes mitzvah. There's nobody else available, and therefore, the Chachamim have the ability to say that her husband should be metame for her. So klala shel davar, the general rule, the bottom line, says Rabbi Yeshua, harei ki ish del chol davar, she's considered like a full-fledged wife for all purposes, ela she goes to the miyun, with the exception that it doesn't need a get, that she can leave the marriage with miyun. So, Omar Rebbe, nirin divir Rabbi Eliezer, mi divir Rabbi Yeshua. So Rebbe says, it seems more logical to follow Rabbi Eliezer over Rabbi Yeshua, should Rabbi Eliezer hish from midos of Bektana, because Rabbi Eliezer is being consistent as far as Bektana. He's saying that given that you only need Miyun, then therefore it's not a real marriage. Well, if it's not a real marriage, then none of these things apply. But Rabbi Yeshua chilek. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua seems to be making distinctions. For certain purposes, he's considered this a marriage, but for other purposes, he's not. So the Gemara says, "My chilek." What do we mean? What kind of distinction? What kind of distinction is Rabbi Yeshua making that doesn't seem to be consistent? It means because e ishtehi tibori get. You're saying that it means that Rabbi Yeshua would say if she's considered his wife and therefore yashins her and patame for her and so on and so forth, then shouldn't it require a get? So Rabbi Yeshua, it seems, is not being consistent. But the question is, Rabbi Eliezer nami e lav ishtehi miu nami lo tibori. So the question is, Rabbi Eliezer is also being inconsistent. After all, if it's not considered a marriage, why should there need to be miyun? If a man and woman have relations outside of marriage, no miyun is necessary. They just each go their separate ways. So if Rabbi Eliezer is saying that this is not considered a marriage, why should miyun be needed? Doesn't that mean Rabbi Eliezer is being inconsistent as well? The Gemara answers back, no. What, you want her to just leave with nothing? The fact is, it had the appearance of a marriage. When they just have a one-night stand, okay, there's no appearance of marriage, so therefore they each go their separate ways and no miyun is necessary. But here, there was, after all, the appearance of a marriage, there was kedushin, there was nisuin, the whole nine yards, so therefore Rabbi Eliezer would say that it's true, it wasn't considered an actual marriage, therefore none of these things apply, he doesn't yashin her and so forth. Nonetheless, the fact is, because it at least had the appearance of a marriage, then you need miyun to undo it. But other than that, he's being consistent and saying that it's not really considered a marriage at all.
The whole thing was like onus.
So that's the thing. So since she was a katana, so it was, that's the thing. In a certain sense, well, so that's the thing. In the Mishnah, we said that she was married off to begin with Ladaita, and now she changed her mind. The truth is, there is a concept that the Gemara brings in other places called pitui katana oinasu, that there's no such thing as pitui, as seduction with a katana, because she's underage, you know, lahavdil, and in the lahavdil and goyish law, you have a concept of that age of statutory rape, where even if she consents, she doesn't really have the ability to give consent. She doesn't know what she's consenting to. So over here, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that, in effect, right, whether we consider it pitui or onus, whatever it is, there's no real marriage over here. The only thing is, since it has the appearance of a marriage, then we require miyun. Whereas Rebbe is saying, Rebbe Yeshua seems to be inconsistent because on the one hand, he's treating it like a real marriage. We're saying that he can be made for her nedarim, yashin to her, and so on and so forth. And on the other hand, we're not treating it like a real marriage in the sense that it can be dissolved by miyun. So Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is more consistent. Nonetheless, the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, because in general, when we have a machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, the halacha is usually like Rabbi Yeshua, and that's how it is over here. So as long as they are married, then it's considered a full marriage. The only difference is that they don't need you. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, we said Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that the distinction is whether the akova is from the man or not. From the husband or not, a cover meaning the impediment, what's preventing her from remarrying. So, hey, chidami, a cover, she mina ish, a cover, she ain't a mina ish. What does this distinction mean? Omer of Yehuda Mishmuel, it means like this. Tov ueli nase, if somebody else proposed marriage to her while she's still married to her first husband, somebody comes and says, you know what, I'd like to marry you. But Omra Machmas Pliny Bailey, and she says, I can't because I'm still married to my first husband, Zuhi Akava, she even ish. Then that's considered an Akava that comes from the man since she didn't do Miyun. So therefore, in other words, she's saying, I consider myself her wife. I consider myself his wife. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov saying, now that constitutes a true marriage, and therefore that so it's not a true marriage after all, it's still only a marriage but Rabbanon. Therefore you need Miyun, but she does need Miyun because she does need Miyun because she herself is saying, I'm married to Pliny and therefore I'm not a bit. But if she says, Machmas b'nei Adam she'en mehugonimli, but if she says to the Shadchan, you know, I would like to, but the people you're suggesting to me as Shaduchim are not suitable for me. So in other words, she's implying that I have no problem getting remarried. I don't consider myself married to my current husband. So I'm certainly available. You just need to give me, you need to propose to me a good Shidduch. Well then, Zuri Akava she'en min ha'ish. So that would be considered an Akava she'en min ha'ish. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would be saying that no Miyun is necessary. Because the very fact that she's saying, I'm available, you just have to find me the right guy, shows, in other words, that so Miyun has already, in effect, been accomplished. So that's one definition. Abaya bar oven, but Avchanina bar oven de Amitavayu, they say a different definition. Nothing more get, if the husband gives her a get, in other words, she didn't do Miyun, but rather an actual get is executed, Zuri HaKava Shimina Ish, then it means that you have the impediment to her getting married up until now was because of his. Because again, the fact that she didn't do Miyun means that she would have liked to stay married to him. It's he who decided to divorce her. Well, therefore, that would mean, so therefore, what does it mean? HaKava Shimina Ish. Vahu Asur B'Kreva Seha, Vahi Asur B'Kreva. So now there's still Asur to marry each other's relatives. And she'd be possible to marry a Kohen in the future because she's a Grush. Miyana boy, on the other hand, Rabbi Elazar Yaakov is saying, if she did Miyun against him, Zuri Akava, She'inim in Ish, then that's called an Akava that's not from the husband, because in other words, she's the one who dissolved their marriage by doing Miyun. And therefore, what Rabbi Elazar Yaakov is implying, so he's mutter in the future to marry any of her close relatives who otherwise would have been apostle to him. She's allowed to marry his close relatives, v'loy poslim, not kohuna, and he doesn't poslim her from kohuna because there's no get over here. So in other words, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is not talking about when miyun is necessary versus when it's not necessary, like in Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel's explanation. It means that he's explaining what are the consequences of a get versus a miyun. Akava she'imina ish means that he gave her a get. Akava she'imina ish means that she didn't. So the Gemara says, Hakatani l'kaman. In that case, you don't need that. The very next Mishnah says, Hamima enes be'ish, hu mutu b'krev iseha v'yimotaris b'krev v'lai posim min akorona. And that miyun makes it that they can still marry each other's relatives because it's considered as though the marriage never existed and she's not fossil from corona. Nasan l'get hu osu b'krev iseha v'yasur b'krev v'posim min akorona. So the next Mishnah says the very same thing. So what would, if you're saying that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's statement is coming to tell us about the difference between get and miyun, then the next Mishnah says so. And the answer is, the Gemara says, you're right. Harushi kama farish. Abaya bar oven, and a kamin bar ovens would say that our Mishnah says it briefly without getting into the details of what it means. And the next Mishnah clarifies what does that mean? What is the definition? And what are the consequences of akava min ha'ish and akava she'en min ha'ish? Okay. So the next Mishnah says, hamama enes be'ish, the woman, the girl does miyun against her husband. So he's mutter to marry her relatives, because it's not considered that there was a marriage there in the first place. She's mutter to marry his relatives, same idea. He doesn't passel her from marrying a Kohen, because there was no marriage and there was no divorce here in the first place. On the other hand, if he gave her a get, who also then he would be also to marry her relatives, she would be also to marry his, because the fact that there was a get means that all this time there was a marriage over there, opostum in a kohuna, and thereby he passels her from kohuna, because now she's a grusha. Continues the Mishnah, nosam la get, the hechzira, what if the husband gave her a get, as a Ketana, and then he remarried her still as a Ketana, Mianaboy, then later on she did Miyun against him, the Nisus Lacher, and she married somebody else, so she was married to Reuven, Reuven divorced her, then Reuven remarried her, then she did Miyun on him, and then she went, and married an unrelated man, Shimon. Venis Armelar and Iskansha, now she's widowed or divorced from her second husband, Muteras Lachseloi, she's allowed to return to her first husband, Reuven. Now, if after he had divorced her, she had married somebody else, then she wouldn't be allowed to remarry him. The Torah says that a husband is not allowed to remarry, husband and wife are not allowed to remarry after they were divorced and she married somebody else. But here, after she married somebody else, right. But here, since they remarried and then she did Miyun, so the Miyun demonstrates that, in other words, in effect, it undoes the effect of the get. So therefore, it's not considered Machzir B'Roshase, it's considered Machzir, it's considered not anything, because it's considered that they weren't married in the first place. So therefore, she should be allowed to return to the first husband. On the other hand, if it was the other way around, the Miyun came first, so they did. She did Miyun, she left, then he remarried her, and cajoled her back into coming back to him, and then later on he gave her a get, and then she remarried to somebody else, and she was widowed and divorced, then she's also to return to him, because the get came last. So that's why the general rule is, get achamiyun asura lachseloi, if the get followed the miyun, then, and this applies, it actually says, no matter how many times this happened, Even if this happened over and over again. So he divorced her, remarried her, then she did Miyun. Then he divorced her again, then she did whatever. Whichever one comes last is the key one.
How can he do a get and then Miyun?
No. She did a get, then he remarried her, then he said, you know, then they talked it over and decided, you know what, let's get back together. So they remarried, and now she did Miyun. That's what we're saying. And
she did Miyun after she had a get.
Why not? Because they remarried. They remarried, she's still a Ketana.
But why did she do a get?
He did a get for whatever reason, because he didn't want to be married to her. Yeah, let's say he decided, you know, when I change.
Oh, he can divorce her with a get.
One second. Think of it. Think of it. Even an adult couple, when they get divorced, they can remarry afterwards, right? They can decide, you know, what it was a mistake to get divorced. As long as she didn't marry somebody else in between, then we're good.
That's so, where I get the fact that he's writing a get to an 11-year-old.
Fine, so he's married. He's writing a get to an 11-year-old. He didn't have. So she didn't want to do Miyun. She wanted to stay married to him.
Right.
He didn't like her, let's say. So he gives her a get. But later on, he changes his mind and decides and cajoles her into remarrying him. And now, later on. So now, later on, she does Miyun. Or vice versa. She did Miyun. Now he goes and manages to convince her to come back to him. And then later on, things go sour and he gives her a get. So we're saying the general rule, Zachbal, get achamiyun asura lachseloi. Anytime, if the get was the last thing, if it was after the miyun, then she's also in the future to return to him. She married somebody else in between. Miyun achaget, mutaris lachseloi. But if the miyun was last, then it's considered as though there was never a marriage. So now, if she's married to somebody else in between, there's no problem. She can return to her first husband.
So let me get this straight. He gives her a get, and then they get back together. Then she does miyun on him.
Yes. So now
she marries somebody else.
Now she's allowed to return to the first husband. Even though he gave her a get before, but because the miyun override the get, right? And Rashi is saying that this applies even if it was multiple times at the point. So even if they went through multiple cycles of this, get miyun remarried, then she remarries him again. Get miyun and then she marries somebody else. Doesn't matter how many times. Yeah, it would be a real soap opera. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, the Mishnah continues. Now, if she does miyun on her husband, and then she marries somebody else, the gersha la'acher, then that somebody else gives her a get, umiyanaboy la'acher, so she marries a second one, she marries Shimon, the gersha la'acher, and that second one gives her a get, umiyanaboy la'acher, then she marries a third one and does miyun with it, the gersha, and then another one gives her a get, zaklal. So the general rule is kosh yotzei men of a get, whichever husband gave her a get, she's also to return to him if she marries somebody else in between. The miyun mataris lachseloi, but if she did miyun on him, then she's able to return to him. Meaning, in other words, that now the Gemara is going to ask, that we seem to be inconsistent. First, we said that a later meon overrides the earlier get. Here, we seem to be saying that the earlier get didn't have effect. So we'll discuss that in the Gemara. But in other words, the scenario we're talking about is, so she was married to Reuben. Let's say she was married to Reuben. Then she did meon on him. She married Shimon, and Shimon gave her a get. Then she married Levi, and she did meon with him. Then she married Yehuda, and he gave her a get. So now, if she goes and marries Yisachar, she'll be also in the future to remarry either Shimon or Yehuda, because both of them gave her gittin, but she would be mutter to remarry Reuven or Levi when her last marriage is over, because they never gave her a get. They only did meon, or she only did meon to them. So the Gemara says, Alma, so we see from the first part of the Mishnah, osi meon and mevatel get. So we see that meon overrides a get, because we're saying that we're saying that the one husband gave her a get. I don't know. Okay. Yeah, he was here last night, so I'm sure it's fine.
Okay.
So Alma osi miun mevato get. So we see from the first part of the Mishnah that miun overrides a get, because we're saying she was married to Reuben, she did miun on him, or he gave her a get, then they remarried, then after they remarried, she does miun. Then we're saying that later on in the future, if she remarries somebody else in between, she's allowed to return to Reuben or to Mini. But then we're contradicted by the second half of the Mishnah. And the rule is, anyone that she left with a get, then she's also to remarry him in the future. The miun muteris lachzalo, but if she did miun, then she's allowed to return to him. Alma loyos miun de chavri ovato gitto di day. So we see that somebody else's miun doesn't undo his get. Because in other words, what we're saying is, if Reuven, her first husband, had given her a get, so even though later on she did miun from Shimon, because she's still a ktana, we're saying she's also to remarry Reuven. So why is that? Why don't we say that the miun against Shimon undoes that there was never any marriage here in the first place, and therefore she'd be allowed to remarry Reuven? In fact, Tosfos says that the Gemara could have even asked the question within the Sefer itself. We seem to be inconsistent, that we're saying that all the ones that she left with Mion she's allowed to return to, but all the ones that she left with a get, she's not allowed to. But the Gemara prefers to ask from the Reisha to the Sefer. So what's going on over here? So Omer of Yehuda Shmuel, Tavra, Misha Shonazu Le Shonazu. So the Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, Tavra, you're right, it's a contradiction from one to the other. Tavra literally means break. So it can mean you break the Mishnah in half, and you say, Misha Shonazu, Lo Shonazu, the Tana that taught the first part did not teach the second part. You're right, the Mishnah is being inconsistent because it represents the opinions of different Tanoim. There is an explanation that Tosfos brings elsewhere that the word Tavra is a lotion of Shlua. So he's swearing it has to be that the two halves of the Mishnah are from two different Tanoim. There's no way to reconcile that. But Omar Rabo my Pusha. But Rabo says why? Why do you find that to be such a kasha that you're wondering about it? The duma miun di day mevato get di day miun the chaver and mevato get di day. The difference might be that miun can cancel the effect of a get from the same husband, but miun from somebody else cannot cancel the effect of his get. So if she did, if she got a get from Reuben, and later on they remarried, and now she did miun against him, then yes, we can say miun undoes the get. But if she did a get with Reuven and miun from Shimon, we can say the miun against Shimon does not override the effect of the get from Reuven. So the Gemara says, Umayishna. Okay, well, what's the logic to draw that distinction? So the difference is like this. Miun de chavre, maishna miun de chavre de la mevato gita today. Why indeed would that be so? Why does miun against Shimon not cancel the effect of the get from Reuben? So the reason is, I did a makeres b'rimizoysav ukritzoysav. Because Reuben, whom she was originally married to, when a couple is married, after a while, they get to being able to recognize each other's signals and winks. And things like that. Sometimes, you know how it is, you don't always have to tell your wife something. Sometimes you can do a wink, or you can do a gesture with your hand or something, or you roll your eyes or whatever, and the other person realizes exactly what you're getting at. So what happens is she recognizes those kinds of things. So therefore, also, mishabesh umaisila. So what's gonna happen? So he divorced her, which means, in other words, she was willing to stay married to him, but he decided, I don't want. And therefore, he gave her a get. Now, what happens is, though, if he changes his mind and then wants to remarry her, what's going to happen? He's able to wink or do such hints to her, she's going to get them, and therefore, the Ozum, the Shabbish, or Maisiva, therefore he's going to go with that and beguile her and, like, confuse, literally, the Shabbish means to confuse. But it means, in other words, like, he's gonna convince her to do miyun against the second husband and come back to him. So therefore, so we don't want that. We don't want him to go and break up somebody else's marriage, where the other guy, where she may well be happily married to the other guy, but he's able to do various, like, secret signals that they had between them, that during their married life. So therefore, we don't want that, and therefore, we don't want that. So even if she does do miyun against the other guy, we still don't want her to return to the first husband.
Right.
Yeah. So they want to ask miyun diday nami lo the bato gita diday. So you could ask the same thing. If he himself, if she did miyun against him, then also we should say it's not mevatel his get. Again, we said in the Mishnah that he gave her get, then he remarried her. Now they're married again, and then she does miyun. So why don't we say by the same logic that her miyun shouldn't undo the effect of his get for the same reason? Because again, she can recognize his winks and his hints. Then he may end up convincing her to remarry him. So why don't we say this? So why don't we say the same thing again? Because after all, she again, when he gave her a get, it means that the marriage was over not because of her, but rather because of him. So now maybe he changes his mind and he starts hinting and winking at her. The answer is well, in that case, if he remarried her after the gerushin, obviously the fact that there was miyun afterwards shows that he wasn't successful in making her happy with him, and that's why she did miyun. So therefore, we don't have to worry. And then in the future, he might be able to, because if the first time already, when they themselves were married the second time around, and she ended up doing miyun against him, then we can say, obviously, she's impervious to any of his rimizosav or kritzosav. Now, we don't have to be concerned that if she marries somebody else, that he's going to go and start doing rimizos and kritzos, come back to me, because she's obviously impervious to it, because otherwise they would have stayed married in the first place. So on the other hand, so the point is, in other words, when there's a get, so he's the one who initiated the get, therefore he's the one who also might initiate remizas or kritzas later. But if she's the one who initiated the end of the marriage with miyun, then we say that obviously remizosav or kritzosav didn't help. So therefore, and Rashi adds the point, when there was a get, then he's saying, I regret it, and she's saying, you know what, it's true, I'm still in love with you. I never wanted to leave in the first place. You're the one who gave me a get. So yeah, let's give it another go. As opposed to when there was miyun, then obviously she herself didn't want to stay married to him. So therefore, there's no problem.
No and still no.
That's no and still no. Exactly. Yeah. So Ella Ikasha, fine. So that part is not a problem. To understand why the difference, why miyun against somebody else can't cancel the effect of his get. Whereas the miyun against him can cancel the effect of his get. Fine, that's easy enough to understand. So therefore, we can accept what Rav is saying. We don't have to say that our Mishnah represent, that the two parts of our Mishnah represent the opinions of different Tanoim. Ela ikasha dechavre adechavre kasha. Rather, we can ask the question, though, still, what about the Mishnah seems to be contradicting itself as far as miyun of somebody else versus a get of somebody else? Namely, because we said in the Mishnah, Mia Naboi Vehasira, if she did miyun against the, we said that if she did miyun against her husband, and then he remarried her, Nasim Laget Venisasvacher, then he gave her a get and she remarried somebody else, Venis Amaloi Niskarsha, and then she's widowed or divorced from the second husband, Asura Laksaloi, then we're saying she's also to remarry the first husband. Implying time of this animal in Iskarsha, the reason she can't return to the first husband is because the marriage was over in the regular way that a marriage daraisa would be over by her husband dying or divorcing her. The implication would seem to be that if she did miyun against Shimon, then she would be able to return to Reuben. So you see that there is an example where miyun against Shimon cancels the effect of the get from Reuben. Because we're saying that Reuben divorced, that she did miyun against Reuben, then he remarried her, then she gave her a get, then she went and married Shimon, and now we're saying that if she's mamayin against Shimon, then she can return to Reuben. So the miyun of somebody else, if Shimon undoes the get of Reuben, or a mini, but then we have earlier in the Mishnah, Ma'enes Be'ish, V'nissus La'ach, or later in the Mishnah, Ma'enes Be'ish, V'nissus La'ach, V'girsh La'ach, O'mean Abay, Zach, Klav, he said the general rule is, Kol Shiyotz, and the men of a get, Asura La'ach, that any husband that the marriage was over with a get, then she can't return, then she's also to return to him. Mion Moteris La'ach, but if it was over with Mion, then she'd be allowed to return to him. So we see that Mion of somebody else does not override his get. Because you're saying that anyone that she left with a get, she's not allowed to return to. So what is it? Is Mion against somebody else effective in undoing his get, or is it not? So that, Amar Rav Elazar, Tavra Mishashana Zulay Shanazu. So now, on that, Rav Elazar is saying that the Mishnah is obviously representing the opinions of different Tanoim.
Can you say that again outside?
Yeah. So we're saying like this. The Mishnah had told us that if she does Mion against her husband, then he remarries her, then he gives her a get. Now she remarries somebody else. If she's widowed or divorced from that second marriage, then she's also to return to the first husband. Implying that if she did Mion against the second husband, she'd be allowed to marry the first one. So we see that the Mion of the second one undoes the effect of the get of the first one. It's not considered as though she was divorced from the first one. It's considered as though there's nothing over here and she's allowed to marry him. On the other hand, the Mishnah then later on says that if she was married to Reuben and divorced, and then married to Shimon and did Mion, and married to Levi and divorced, and so on and so forth, then we say afterwards she's also to marry any of the ones that she was married and divorced from. So we see that the divorce still is in effect, even though there's Mion from somebody else. So now, Rav Elazar says, Tavra, it's obviously a contradiction. Misha Shonazu, Le Shonazu. Whichever Tana taught the first part of the Mishnah, did not teach the second part, we have to say that they represent the opinions of different Tanoim. But Ula Omar, what Ula says not necessarily is a contradiction. We're talking about that there were already three times Gittin. So now the Mercia Kigdola, so now she's already considered, she appears already like a Gdola. So what we mean is, in other words, that the Mishnah had said, I'm an NSP ish, Nisa Fa'acha, the Gir Shalacha, Mia Namboy. So we said, for example, you have Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. But really, Ula is saying the Mishnah actually meant that this whole cycle happened three times. So she was married to Reuben. Married Shimon, got a get. Married Levi, did Mion, all still as a Kana. Married Yehuda, got a get. Married Yisachar, did Mion. Married Zvolun, got a get. So now that's already happened three times that she's got a get. Now we say that a later Mion can't cancel the effect of the earlier get. But if it's before that, then she could. Because once you have three times already Gittin, then already she has the appearance of a Gdola, even though physically she's still a Ktana, and then in age she's still a Ktana, but nevertheless at that point we already say that we're already going to say she appears like a Gdola, and of course a Gdola who was divorced from her husband is not allowed to return to him if she was married to somebody else in between ever. In fact, we've shown him point out, now in the Mishnah, the fact is the Mishnah only said the cycle twice. So how is Ula coming and saying it three times? We learned earlier in the Masechta, Machlokas Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel, how many times does something need to happen for it to be a chazaka? We said Rebbe said two times and Reb Shimon Gamliel says three times. So therefore, our Mishnah might be following the opinion of Rebbe, whereas Ula is saying that in this case, we have to apply the opinion of Reb Shimon Gamliel, and therefore you need to be.
Because that's how we hold.
Well, it depends. We said in the Gemara over there, as far as matters of Sakana, we hold like Rebbe that two is enough, but otherwise we hold like Reb Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara says, okay, man kana. Now, if you're going to tell me, like Rabbi Elazar, that the two parts of the Mishnah are from different Tanoim, then which Tana is it that would say that if there was Mion after a get before three times, like Ula is saying, that nevertheless we still wouldn't be able to she wouldn't be able to return, which Tana would say that? So the answer comes from the following story. Amr of Yehuda Amr Rab, my dichtiv me menu bekesef shasinu eitzenu b'mchir yavoy. Or Pasuk in Eicha says, we had to drink our water with money, and we had to get our wood with a price. In other words, the simple meaning of the Pasuk is we're bemoaning what happened during the time when the Goyim are ruling over us. We're like this, for example, we had water wells before, where we were able to freely take water from them, and now the Goyim have taken control of those, and they're forcing us to pay money to get our own water. But we're going to darshan over here. Mayim is a metaphor for Torah in Mayim of Torah. The word Eitzenu suggests the word Eitza, which means an advice in Torah. So therefore, we're going to talk about a time when they have to pay a large amount of money to get an answer in Halacha. B'shasa sakonis baksha Halachazu. There was a time of danger during the time when the Romans had outlawed learning and learning Torah and practicing mitzvahs, where they needed an answer for this. If she was divorced from the first husband and did miyun against the second husband, is she allowed to remarry the first husband? They had to hire somebody for 400 zuz, which is an enormous amount of money. They asked Rabbi Akiva while he was in jail, and he said it's aser. So they had to pay the guy 400 zuz, because it was very dangerous to go into the jail, so he demanded a high price for it. Now, we learned the other day, we had the story where Rabbi Yechon, a sandler, disguised himself as a peddler and went around outside the jail to ask the question. But here, I guess, because it was a more complicated thing, they couldn't have somebody calling out as a peddler outside, or maybe the Romans had intensified the searches, and they're not going to allow peddlers around there, whatever. So they had to, the shaila needs to be asked, so they had to pay the guy 400 zuz to go ask Rabbi Akiva the shaila. But also, and he said it's also, Esther Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira ben Nitzivin, but also. And they asked to be sure, they asked Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira ben Nitzivin, maybe they figured, what if the message didn't get 100% through correctly to Rabbi Akiva, and he also said it's also. Now, so that's the Tanakama of the Braisa says that's what the question was, and that's what actually came up. But Rabbi Shmuel but Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says that wasn't the question that was asked. We wouldn't even need to ask the question. If you're saying that even an Isu Kodesh, you say, well, she's an Eishes Ish after all, and you're taking that away without a get, how much more so when it's only an Isu Lav involved, your Masuk Rishase is after all only an Isu Lav, how much more so that they wouldn't have needed to ask the question about that? Bram Tach Shalu, rather the question was as follows. Hare hoista Ashes Achi Imoi Shihi Shinialoi. Suppose that this woman was the wife of his mother's brother, Shihi Shinialoi, whether she's a Shnia to the we should have the diagram over here. I don't know if you want to grab the diagrams book, then we can show it real quick. We do have to finish up over here now. So thank you. So you have a scenario. So you have as follows. So you have over here, for example, Dun is Rachel's sister. Rachel was married to Yaakov. Another woman is also married to Yaakov. They have a son, Shimon. So Shimon is not related at all to Dun because she's only his father's wife's brother. So she's a Shnia to him. V'nasa achiv me'aviv. So she's a Shnia rather to Reuben. She's a Shnia to Reuben because she's his wife. She's his mother's brother, which is only a Shnia. His wife, Dun's wife, rather, Oktana, is only a Shnia to Yaakov, is only a Shnia to Reuben in this scenario. It's diagram 276 in the book. If Dun died and Shimon married his wife, which is perfectly fine because there's no relationship between them at all, so it's not a matter of Yibum, it's just a matter of a regular marriage. So Shimon, the Reuben's brother from his father's side, married her, Umes, and then he died. So can we say that she should do miyun now? In that way, she will undo her previous marriage to Shimon. And now her tzara should be able to do yibum like this. She would be prevented from doing yibum with Reuben because even though Shimon is Reuben's brother and yibum should be done, but the problem is that she's a shnia to Reuben. So now, can we say that we have her do miyun? That way, it's considered as though the marriage never existed. And now, if Shimon had another wife, then Reuben would be able to do yibum with her. So that was the question. That's the question according to that. So when it's after the death of the husband, Shimon, can there be miyun after he died when that would allow us to do the mitzvah of yibum or not? So for that, they had to hire two people for 400 zuz. So we see therefore that the Tanoim over here are arguing whether if you have miyun, if you have a get and then you have miyun, whether she's allowed to remarry or not. So according to the Tanakhama of the Braisa, no, that's what they ask her about Kiva. And according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi, yet she would be allowed to. Therefore, those would be the two Tanoim that Rabbi Elazar would say are the two Tanoim of our Mishnah. Okay, let's finish up here real quick. Amar Rav Yitzchak Ba'ashian, Umoider Rav, Shemuteres Ba'achiv Shalzeh, Shenesu Olav. Rav would agree that she's mutter to the brother of the one that she was also to. So she's also, let's say, for example, so in the, not in this complicated scenario that we just said, but a simple case where she was married to Reuven and did, and got a get from him, and that, or did Niyun with him, and then married, she got a get from Reuven. Then she married Shimon and did Niyun against him, and was saying she's not allowed to return to Reuven. She would be mutter to Reuven's brother. So it must be Peter. Of course, the whole point we said why not is because she's familiar with the winking and hinting that Reuven might do to her, but she's not familiar with that to his brother. Why would we be concerned that his brother might try to undo her marriage with his new husband? The answer is Marud Tamer, Ligzer High, Otter High. Still, you might think maybe you make a Zera, because one might be confused with the other. If you allow her to marry the brother, she might remarry Reuven. As Kamash Malan, therefore, Rabbi Tzofa Ashian tells us not. The Ikadami, Rabbi Tzofa Ashian, Kishem Shasur Olai, Kahasur Olachin. The second version is the other way around. Just as she's also to one, so she's also to the brother. So the question is, Baha'in Makaris, the Kritzeseim, or Mizeseim? And the answer would be, Gzeira Achiv Altahu, sure, make a Gzeira that she shouldn't marry Reuven's brother, because then she might come to remarry Reuven himself, and there you have the Remizes of Kritzes problem.
That's the most contradictory Ikadami that I
do. It's not the most contradictory Ikadami. You have other ones like that. You have other ones also where the second one is exactly the opposite of the first one.
Yeah.
Okay. Shreyach, everyone.